Hello and happy fall. Welcome once again to the Perpetual Notion Machine for October 17th, 2024. I'll be your mad scientist, Wally, and with me on air is my fellow mad scientist, Stefania Cartoni. She is a PhD candidate at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the Renz Weed Science Lab. So Stefa studies integrated pest management with a focus on forested sites. She has been a shepherd of goats, cutter of grass, counter of plants, and sampler of soil over the past 4+ years, researching how goats and their munching can be used as part of an invasive species management plan. So we're going to talk about goats and Chile and what it means to be doing science here in Wisconsin. Welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine, Stefania.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It's fun, right? We happened to be friends from the Universidad, and you've come here all the way from Chile. So can you tell us a little bit about what made you want to do science here in Wisconsin?
Sure. So I did my undergrad in agronomy in Chile. And since before even finishing my undergrad, I knew I wanted to learn more, go to grad school, and figure out a way to combine agriculture and natural environments. Mm-hmm. And one friend who was already here studying his PhD in horticulture suggested that I look into the agroecology program at the university at UW-Madison. So I did, and I really liked the program. I applied, got in, and after I finished my master's in 2021, I started my PhD in agronomy, which is where I'm doing my goat and invasive species research right now.
Neat. And a shout out to the brand new graduate or undergraduate program in agroecology as well. So it's something that's cutting edge in our department over at the Grand University here. Why goats in particular? How did you get... People love goats. Whenever I say I get to work with goats or your volunteers get to work with goats, everyone goes, squee, like, we love them.
I know. How about you? Yeah, they are super charismatic. And I think that's something that has really helped people be more aware of the importance of invasive species management and natural area management in general to be able to maintain healthy ecosystems. So a lot of times when people see the goats, they then wonder what are they doing there, and mm-hmm. they're able to learn a bit more about this work. And goats are really good for controlling these invasive shrubs because they actually prefer to eat shrubs over grasses. So mm-hmm. if you tried, for example, to use sheep for controlling shrubs, they wouldn't be as good because sheep prefer to eat grasses. So goats will go and eat up to 5 feet tall. They go on their hind legs and stand up to browse on the leaves, and they strip the bark off of shrubs. So that's how they do their control. And they eat almost anything, like things that have a lot of thorns. They just go ahead and eat it like nothing.
They kind of almost like those thorny things because it doesn't bother their tongues. How is that possible? Like, what do they do to their teeth and their tongues to make them tough? I don't know either.
That would be a tough. Good question for an animal okay. physiologist, an animal right. scientist.
Understandable. Yeah, so they're pretty non-selective. So mm-hmm. So the process is you just get them out there and... So we're preaching to the choir across the table here. We both do this kind of work. But why, if someone's listening right now and they're like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about, invasive mm-hmm. species up in the forests. What does that mean and why should they care? And thank you for being an ambassador of that in Wisconsin all the way from Chile.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't think much about invasive species in their daily lives, understandably.
We do.
But. Yeah, we do. We're one of the few people who do, probably. But if people go out and you just go on a hike and you see a lot of plants and a lot of green, people just think, oh, this is great. But so many of those plants can be invasive plants that aren't originally from the area and are creating... issues and displacing native plants and using the resources that other natives, plants or animals were using. So they do create these imbalances in the ecosystem and disrupt nutrient cycles and water cycle, and they can also create economic harm and even harm to the health of people.
Right, which, like wild parsnip, for example.
Exactly.
Which the goats apparently love to eat.
They love it, yeah,
and
they eat it.
It would, you know, it's made of real parsnip, like you would buy in the store, but the top of it will give you kind of crazy photosynthetic burns. So
yeah, you don't want to get near it.
No. So, and I think it's interesting that ecologically speaking, here in Wisconsin, so we've come from a place where we had the Native Americans, the tribes who were here for many years. They had a system of savannas, and they ran kind of their own bio control, or I guess biomanipulation. And then we've kind of removed, to a large extent, the role of like having lots and lots of hooved things like mammoths and elks. We have lots of deer, right? But we don't actually have the frequency compared to the what's coming in. So in a way, we're almost bringing an old style of what was on the landscape back to the landscape.
Yeah. So one of the natural ecosystems here was the savanna, the oak savanna. And that was, as you said, managed by native people with fire, I believe. I'm not an expert. So once we stopped using fire and we put up a lot of fences and we use the land in different ways, like agriculture, and we remove, as you said, big ruminants that roam and use their hooves and eat all the plants, that creates all this, all these differences in the ecosystem. And now that makes that if an invasive plant shows up, they can basically go undisturbed and use all the space because they don't have anything pushing back.
Right, right. I've always been curious too. So goats almost serve like fire because fire turns over the resource, the plants or the whatever, the, you know, the old wood and old carbon, and it spreads it out and makes it kind of biologically available again. And I think from my perspective, using livestock and using goats kind of replicates that in a way, but it doesn't have quite the risk of having a fire. People, and we love fires, but now that we have so many houses tucked away in the woods and there's this risk assessment that has to happen. I had actually the forestry fire team on here a couple of months ago. So shout out to those guys. But so they're almost like a type of fire that you can bring in, and they're cute. And then they eat the leaves and then they excrete the leaves, right? Yeah. And that's also good. So can you do soil sampling and things like that to kind of see how the soil is being affected?
Yeah, for sure. So that's one of the aspects that I am looking into with my research. We took a bunch of soil samples at the beginning and we took them again this year, and you helped with that. So thank you very much.
couple long tubes of soil.
Yes. So we believe that these treatments, like goats and other treatments that I'm using, like machinery and herbicide, might create an impact in soil health. So we want to make sure that we're monitoring that. And it could be for better or for worse. We don't know. There could be some soil compaction, or there could be better use of nitrogen and nutrient cycling or hydraulic conductivity, so that the water can get into the soil instead of like flowing on the surface. So we are taking all those soil samples and analyzing them just to have a clearer picture of what's the impact.
That makes sense. And of course, we talked about this, that you know, I'm quite familiar with the research, but now that we've built up the narrative of why we might care and we know that goats are cool, can you sum up your research in like a minute or two,
yes,
what you're doing?
This research is about, like, the general idea is about implementing silvopasture in Wisconsin. So I'll back up a little bit and a lot of farms here in Wisconsin have some pockets of forests that farmers aren't currently using. And those forests, since they're not being used, are being invaded by all these shrubs. So they don't function in the same way as they should. And they don't even allow the same, for example, deer population to go through. So if you're a hunter and you care about having deer, these forests that are unmanaged don't actually provide deer habitat. So with our research, we're trying to, our first step is getting rid of those invasive shrubs using a combination of treatments, one of which is goats and the other ones are machinery and herbicides. And then we are investigating how or what forage or grass species are better able to grow under an open forest condition, so that farmers who own these forests, instead of just leaving them and letting them be degraded by shrubs, they can now use them for their cattle as silvopasture, which is the intentional management of trees, cattle, and grasses.
So you can actually get milk out of your forests.
Yeah.
Which is a very Wisconsin concept, right? I suppose.
It would probably be more adapted to beef cattle, okay, just because of the requirements of the cows. But yes, it's a good combination of those natural areas and agricultural production that's very present here in Wisconsin.
I have an experience doing this work in Viroqua, which is always keen for a weird volunteer project. So yeah, we took care of this this herd, and they moved around and did restoration work for us in the hills, in the Driftless Hills, which can be pretty challenging to get mm-hmm. around in otherwise. And the guy who owned the goats and the sheep just let us use them pretty much for free, because it was free forage for him. So mm-hmm. he was also going down to O'Hare and deploying goats on the tarmac, you know.
Oh my God.
Poor goats, you know, just in Chicago traffic. Can you imagine?
That would be stressful. Stressful for me. I can't imagine, right? For a goat.
Maybe they just put their blinders on. I don't know. Yeah. But so for him, it was a way to have free stewardship and mm-hmm. free shepherding of his and do work for the public. And it was a great example where people would donate to the goats at these music nights, and it funded this whole Friends of Vernon County Parks and Forests. Shout out to my friends out there in Viroqua. I'm looking forward to giving them a talk here, actually coming up next year. I'm all booked out. You know, I'm in high demand.
Yes, you're very busy.
Oh, yeah. So cool. So, yeah, I've got to go out to these sites. The main one is in Prairie du Sac. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And stomp around. And I have this impression, and I'm curious if people out there think the same, which is to say, do the forests of Wisconsin feel more cluttered when you walk around and look at them? And I think the answer is yes. And I'm 42. So when I was a kid, it just feels a little different. And it's hard to explain that. But if anybody's been, you know, walking around nature their whole life, it's interesting to feel the change that's come even in my life, even my little blink of an eye that is my life.
Yeah, it would be interesting if someone has pictures of 50 years ago, right, how forests looked like, and I can share my picture of how I look like taking measurements in my plots, very covered by shrubs.
All the buckthorn and all the stuff, yeah. So, pardon me. So this is Stefania Cardoni. She is a PhD researcher. Now, she is from Chile, and she has shared a song that she'd like to play that I don't think involves goats, but does involve her culture, and it's pretty fun. And I'm not going to say the name of the artist. Here we go.
Con cuidado de no participar en ninguna.
All right, welcome back. That was the FMs. Look it up. Explorador is the name of the song, and that is the theme of coming to this fine state. One of the founders of conservation, our great-granddad, Aldo Leopold here, you know, we're proud to do this kind of cool research. This is the Perpetual Notion Machine. My name is Wally, and I'm back in conversation with Stefania Cartoni. She is a PhD researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison studying agroecology. She is stomping the woods of Prairie du Sac, measuring how goats fit into integrated pest management for deciduous forests full of invasive species and invasive shrubs. So we're talking about stuff that we know a lot about, and we are kind of happy to share this and share the narrative of why it matters. So maybe you do something in your own backyard or go to your favorite park and help out. So what you get to work with animals, you get to work with big old tractors and stuff, mm-hmm. and yeah, chemicals to some extent. But the goat's got to be fun if challenging. So what are your favorite parts of doing this research and kind of digging into the science of this?
My favorite part is being able to work outside and do physical work that is meaningful in a broader sense. I really like being able to solve problems or answer questions that farmers have and that will bring better solutions for the way we manage our systems. So I really like working outside, being active, and working with a lot of lab mates. That has been super fun.
Because you have a landscaping background as well.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I did some landscaping, and I've always enjoyed being part of the whole process of the planning, designing, thinking about it, and then implementing it. So I'm happy that I'm not just behind a computer all day, then I'm able to actually move and see the results of what we're doing.
Yep. And as much as working for rich people in their yards is its own noble persuasion, which you and I have both spent time doing, it's nice to kind of do it for a bigger cause. And so that's part of, you know, University of Wisconsin Extensions, which is kind of one of the hosts of this project. That's what it's all about, getting people to do science that matters to the state of Wisconsin. So we're talking about clearing out otherwise sort of hard to move around, unproductive woods. Mm-hmm. And they can be more just aesthetically beautiful. It doesn't have to be for any kind of monetary gain. And just getting out there and doing it can be its own reward, as well as, clearing up campsites or making your way for other kinds of things to come in and be productive. So what is your what's your nemesis out there when you're when you're stomping the ground, do you see it?
I would say my nemesis in this whole research has been the buckthorn, mostly because it's not so, there are other species that have a lot more thorns and a lot more painful to walk through or around when I'm doing the research outside, but buckthorn is so common in the city, in houses, in backyards, and it was used as a landscaping plant. And I was 1 year into this position in my PhD, and I was just sitting on my front porch looking up, and I recognized those leaves, and I realized that the big tree that we have on our front yard is a buckthorn, and I just couldn't believe it, that it was chasing me out of my job and into my house. And it's just been seeing all these invasive species, how they are used in landscaping and in places that they shouldn't be there, and they are creating damage. It's very frustrating.
That's me in knotweed, the knotweed complex. They're everywhere, and they're planted for ornamentals.
Oh my God.
They're destroying infrastructures, and they're kind of terrifying while pretty. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, getting back to the goats a little bit, which she says common buckthorn is common in urban areas. It's actually called common buckthorn.
Common buckthorn, yes.
Versus glossy buckthorn, right. Which is not a great name because common buckthorn is also glossy.
It's also pretty glossy. Yeah, it is confusing.
Right. These are real problems, friends. So talking goats, and the jury is out because the research is being crunched. But what are you seeing that works? If people are going to get involved with goats, I mean, I think having, I know some people that have like four goats in a small part and they're fenced in and they do really, really great. So in that density. So I know it's density dependent and it's also site dependent and cost dependent. But so what's working that you could recommend? Maybe what's being more of a challenge or not showing the results you would like to see?
I think everyone is very excited about goats, but what I'm seeing is that they're not necessarily the best solution if you're just looking into control of shrubs. Of course, it depends on every situation. It depends on the density of invasion in the forest. It depends on the topography of the place, because maybe you can put goats where you can't put machinery. And goats, for example, eat everything without discriminating. So if you have plants that you really want to protect, it might be a bit tricky to let the goats in because they will eat everything. So it should be paired with some type of restoration afterwards, for example, just trying to reintroduce plants that they might also take with the invasives. And they require a considerable amount of labor because you have to move electric fence and make sure that the fence works and provide water for them. And all the maintenance is not trivial.
They need like what, mineral too? Like what are the inputs block that you have to like hike out there or get a UTV, right?
Yeah, so the electric fence is pretty heavy because you can't use electric fence that's used for cattle. You need a mesh basically because goats are very, very smart and they will try to get away and they will jump or go through small spaces. So it needs to be some sort of mesh or netting instead of just a couple of lines of electric fence. And those are pretty heavy and you have to make sure that the perimeter is clear. So you first have to go in and clear a perimeter if it's not clear. So that means that you have to do some work before getting in. And every day you should check the fence because if any dead branch falls on the fence and makes it touch the ground or fall down, the goats might escape and you don't want that. You have to provide fresh water every day. So if it's in a remote place where you don't have a water source available, you have to carry it yourself. And the electric fence is powered by a heavy battery. And you need also provide a salt block, a mineral block for the goats. So it requires some work. But if you already have the system, for example, a lot of farmers here might be able to have access to goats if they are close by. Or in Madison, where you see all these goats, I imagine since they are doing so much work with them, they might have a system that is more efficient than just me going into the forest with all defenses.
Yeah, you get that big mow deck out there.
Yep.
And listen up, folks. It's a growing market. People will pay good money to have your goats come to their land. Mm-hmm. So if you've always wanted to be a shepherd and you think goats are cute, you know, live that dream.
Yes.
And they are really charming. Do you have any rescue stories or any kind of harrowing goat experiences? I mean, they're pretty friendly, but they're kind of goofballs.
Yeah, there was always, so we repeated this treatment. So the grazing, we had to repeat it twice a year for the 2 years that we worked on each of the sites that we worked at. And we always got a different herd because just there was some overlap and you got sometimes the same goats, but we contracted the service from a person who had around 100 goats and we only needed around 20. So you had sometimes the same goats and some of them were really, really friendly and they went to you because they wanted scratches and that was really funny, but others did not care that much and others definitely tried to escape, which we were good at preventing, but they tried.
Well, thank you so much for some deep dive into the world of what it is that you do. And I think a neat tool in the toolbox for people that care about their land. In my experience, if you have a lot of time and you can dedicate them in high frequency, they can be quite powerful.
Yeah.
If you don't have the time and energy to have them out there pretty often, they don't quite, it's it's just part of what you have to do to kind of keep up the work.
Yeah. Any system that you do has to be repeated several times in order to be effective.
And fun science fact, goat spit, there's an enzyme in it that continues to eat into the top of the plant even after the goat leaves.
Oh my God.
That's part of how they digest the plant material. So if you can harvest goat spit, there's your $1 million idea. But hey, it's almost time for our show to end. I've been joined in the studio by Stefania Cartoni. She is a PhD candidate at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the Wren's Weed Science Lab, studying integrated pest management with goats. Stefa, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
You've been listening to our collective-based science news show, The Perpetual Motion Machine. I've been your shepherd's shepherd, Wally. Thanks to our new engineer, Daniel MacArthur. Dan, Daniel. Thank you, man. Nice to meet you. Have a great night.